Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What an honor it is to be with you all this morning. Just appreciate that I got this invitation from Pastor Lucas. It's just an honor to be able to fill in for him this morning. And, you know, I want to tell you what a wonderful friend and brother in the Lord Pastor Lucas is. I'll tell you, I am so thankful how God is using me here at Bethany to reach a lost and dying world for Christ. I'm thankful for his heart. He's got a heart to preach the gospel, and he has a heart to teach people, and I am so thankful for that. You know, I tell you, I have to say, I do pray that he's getting some rest during his sabbatical. I hope he's finding time to recharge, and I know he's going to come back even more on fire for the Lord. I also want to tell you this morning that I'm thankful for each one of you all. My wife Amy and I have visited Bethany a couple of times in the last few weeks, and I tell you what, we're thankful for the way you greeted us. I have to say, you're one of the more friendly churches we've been to. You know, I have to say, there's actually some churches that you go to, nobody talks to you. You can go and sit in the pew and nobody ever says a word to you. But I'm thankful that Bethany was one of the churches that made us feel welcome and talked to us, and just am so thankful for you all and your heart for the Lord. Now, for those that don't know, I was pastor at Forest Park Baptist Church. I had been there for 9 years, and after 9 years, I felt God was telling me that my time at Forest Park was completed. So I say I retired, but I'm not sure you retire when you're a minister. I mean, I'm just waiting for the next assignment. I don't know exactly what that is going to be, but I'm going to ask you all for your prayers that I will be open to wherever God leads me to go. So I understand you're going through the book of Psalms this summer. And Lucas told me, when he first asked me to do this, he said, "Now I'm going to give you Psalm 66. And I said, "That sounds great. I can do that." So I want to just say something as I start about the Psalms. And by the way, I hope you got your Bibles with you and you're turning to Psalm 66. But as you know, the book of Psalms is a sacred song or a poem or a prayer. The book of Psalms give us wonderful words, and we treasure those up in our hearts as Christians. And the whole idea about the Psalms is to express worship. You know, through the Psalms, we're encouraged to praise God for who he is and what he's done for us. In the book of Psalms, we see the greatness of our God. We're reminded by his faithfulness over and over again, especially to us as we go through times of trouble. Now, if we continue to study the book of Psalms, we see how everything in the book works for the glory of God. You know, people tend to express themselves through the book of Psalms. It reminds us that we can lament and express our grief to God. It helps us remember that God is the beginning and end to all things, and that we can have joy in all circumstances. You know, the book is full of words to pray and songs to sing. Now, I'm also thankful this morning that Bethany is a church that likes to sing. You know, I kept hearing you all sing, and I just love the worship from that. Again, you go to some churches and the congregation really doesn't sing that much. But I'm thankful that you all do that. And I tell you what, I love to sing, and I love the words that we just sang. I love the hymns that were picked out for today. You know, they're just great songs that remind us of our love for God. It reminds us of our salvation, and it reminds us of the joy that we should have in the Lord. You know, music is one of those things that helps us to learn and to remember. And I want to ask you, do you ever get a song stuck in your head? You ever do that? I do that a lot. You know, I have to say, I've got 2 granddaughters, and they're toddlers. One's about 30 months old, and the other one's 18 months old. You know, so I have to say, in the last few months, I have learned more preschool nursery songs than you can ever believe. You know, I'm singing songs like Wheels on the Bus, Hop Little Bunny, and of course that old favorite, Old MacDonald. I mean, my granddaughters just love that. But I'll tell you what, after singing that a few times with them, guess what? Those songs get stuck in my head. I have found myself waking up some mornings to Wheels on the Bus. And I'm going, why is that stuck in my head? And yet, that's what I go through the morning. And you know, I have to say, after I do that, I just have to laugh. Because, I mean, you know, honestly, I'd do anything for my granddaughters. And even for me, that's not a very good singer, I like to do that with them. But as we get into the words of Psalm 66 this morning, this psalm is about how awesome are God's deeds. In fact, I've titled it, How Awesome Are Your Deeds. And I'm going to tell you, it's a song that we all should be singing. It's a song that should stick in our heads so that we never forget, because all of God's deeds are awesome. See, church, we know He deserves our praise. We know we need to remember His works. We know that He has refined us. We know that we need to offer sacrifice to Him. And we also know that we've got a testimony that we need to give for Him. That's my point this morning as we read Psalm 66. So I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's Word. And the words of the Lord from Psalm 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Salah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, who keeps watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Salah. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praises be heard. Who has kept our soul from the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. You went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatted animals and with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats, Salah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we stand before You this morning in awe. Lord, we think about Your awesome deeds, but we are in awe about what You have done. Lord, thank You for loving us like You do. Thank You for bringing us through the fire, through the trials. And Lord, thank You so much for our salvation. Lord, be with us as we study Your Word today. Help us to penetrate our hearts. Help us to sing this song wherever we go. Help us to keep the words in our head that You are an awesome God. Lord, I want to pray for Lucas and Meredith. I just want to again just lift them up to You and ask You to sustain them and refresh them during this time of sabbatical. And Lord, I pray for Bethany. I'm thankful for this church, and I just pray that You continue to help her to continue to be the light of a world that needs to hear the gospel. Lord, thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we start this, I want you to see in the very first four verses that are talked about here, we see that God deserves our praise. And as we look at these verses, really there's two words that jump out to us at the very beginning. It's the two words shout and sing. Shout and sing, because it says shout for joy to God, all the earth, sing the glory of His name. And through this singing and through this shouting, we're to give Him glorious praise. So how do we describe the shouting that Psalms is talking about here? Well, what I like to do is I like to go and look where the word's used throughout the whole scripture so you can find out what the author intended to mean here. So as we do that, we see this connotation of shouting, meaning that it's shouting in triumph or shouting in applause or shouting with a religious impulse, or even the scripture here is used more like we're in a state of joy as we shout. So I'm going to ask you, church, are we really supposed to shout in church? Are we really supposed to do that? Yes, we are. Scriptures calls us to do that because when we sing, we should be singing loudly. By doing that, we're telling everyone around us that our God deserves praise. We're telling people that we have a joy in our heart that we want other people to see and to know. We might even shout an amen after singing a verse or a chorus. We might even shout an amen as the preacher shouts something that has touched us and we know that is true. You know, again, talking about my granddaughters, they sure like to sing loudly when they sing, because it brings them joy as they're learning. But as Christians, we have learned what God has done for us. See, what I like about the Psalms here is even the Psalms share with us what we should be saying, what we should be shouting. Look at verse 3. It says, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds." See, the entire Bible is full of God's gracious deeds, how He's taking care of His people. As we look at Psalm 86:15, it says this, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." I'm thankful for that this morning. That's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. But we can go on and on because He is creator, He is sustainer, He is redeemer. His mighty hand and works are on display throughout the whole world for all of us to see. Psalm says here, His deeds are so awesome that even His enemies come cringing to Him. Reminds me of Philippians 2:10 through 11. "So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father." See, all of us are without excuse. And it's all because of who He is and His work. All the earth worships You and sings praises to You. Salah. Now, I'm going to take a little detour. I know I've read the word Salah. Sometimes people don't do that as they read the scripture, but I did, and it's because I don't know if you've all really gone through that to see what that really means, because we see that throughout the book of Psalms. You may be asking yourself, what does it mean and why is it here? You know, we're not really sure. We don't know exactly what Salah means. Scholars have speculated that it's some kind of a musical notation here, such as a signal to change keys or to even repeat a phrase or maybe even just to increase the volume as you're saying this. But the most common thought for that word Salah out there is that it means to reflect on what you just sung. And I kind of like that. I don't think we reflect as much as we should. How many times do we sing words in church and we really don't give a true thought to what they mean? So as we read through this and as you continue reading the Psalms, I'm just going to urge you to take a short pause when this word is read and reflect on what was just said. I think that's important for us to do. But so the psalmist here has instructed us to praise God because He deserves it. But my second point this morning is We need to remember his works. We remember his works. That's in verses 5 through 7 here. And I think it's so wonderful that the psalmist here uses this term that we see in verse 5. It says, come and see what God has done. Come and see. How many of you believe something because somebody just tells you? How many of you all believe the news and everything that's said on the news every day? And we have a problem with that sometimes, don't we? I think it's because we are a come and see people. You know, we want to see the evidence. See, you tend to believe something if somebody shows you that it's true. If I stood here this morning and said, I can do 100 push-ups. Now, you're a gracious congregation. Because I could see in your face that most of you thought, well, sure, he could do 100. You could just look at me and tell I could do 100 push-ups. But again, thank you for your graciousness, because I know some of you would doubt that. But if I dropped down and did 100 push-ups right there, there's not a lot you could say to that, is there? I mean, because I showed you, and I could say, come and see me do 100 push-ups. So to praise God, we come and see. And again, the psalmist is trying to remind us here about all the things throughout all Scripture that God has done. See, the Scripture tells us a lot of the mighty works of God. The Psalms tell us of his awesomeness. It tells us that all of these have been done to the children of man. Of course, that's everyone that's born of Adam. That's all of us that have descended down from Adam. And because of the time that these were written, the psalmist shares how great these deeds were for the Israelites. See, he's reminding them how God had brought them over dry land as he parted the Red Sea so that they could walk over. He reminds them here that they've also walked on dry land to the Promised Land as they crossed the Jordan River. I want you to think again how in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it shares so many things about the great works of God. But I have to tell you, the greatest work of God for me was when he saved me a sinner. Because you know what? I didn't deserve it. But I do want to shout, come and see how God has changed me. He saved me when I wasn't worth saving. So how can we not remember his awesome deeds when we think about all that he's done for us? He's brought us new hope. He's brought us a new life. He's brought us a Savior. But there's a warning to this. Verse 7 is that warning, that the rebellious shouldn't exalt themselves. See, I think the psalmist is trying to tell us it's not our deeds here. It's the work of God. We can go further and say it's the work of Christ that has saved us. In humility, we come to Jesus because it is nothing we have done. It's nothing that we deserve. It's all his work. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 reminds us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of your own doing. Is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Aren't God's deeds awesome? Shouldn't we be remembering his mighty works? So again, we remember his awesome deeds because we realize that he deserves our praise, and we remember his mighty works. And the third thing we run from this scripture is that God has refined us. That's what the scripture says next in verses 8 through 12. See, these verses again start out by reminding us to praise God. And in this section, the theme seems to be because he has taken care of us. It says, he has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. You know, our soul among the living really points to our spiritual life here. Talking about something spiritual deep down inside of us. Now, our feet from slipping may point to our physical life here. But again, the psalmist is giving us great detail on how God has done this with the nation of Israel. And in verse 10, it points to this refining that we're talking about. The refining of his people, like the way dross is smelted out of silver. See, silver's not pure, When you dig it up out of the ground, it's not pure. But to get it close to pure, you've got to burn it. You've got to burn all those other elements away. And God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be holy, in other words. And in verses 11 through 12, he relates how this is done. See, he reminds us here that the Israelites had had a very rough history. They went into bondage. They had to wander the wilderness for 40 years. They constantly had other nations to fight. Now again, it was their fault because they had fallen away and done things that God had told them not to do. But the point here is that God was still preparing them. He was preparing them for the promised land, a land that he told them would be flowing with milk and honey. But they needed to know how to worship God. They needed to know that so they could enjoy his blessing. But I want all of us this morning to think about how God has refined you. When you became a Christian, you were made into a new creation. But it didn't stop there, did it? In this life, we continually go through this process of sanctification. You know, each and every day we live, we do our best to try to be a little bit more holy for Christ. But it doesn't stop there. See, God is still preparing us for our heavenly home. See, he's still refining us. When you go through those hard times, you might ask yourself, well, what is God trying to teach me here? What's he trying to show me here? Because he is preparing me for our heavenly home. So as we jump down to verses 13 through 15 here, we recognize how awesome are your deeds, and we offer sacrifice. We offer sacrifice. See, the psalmist here is recognizing that since God has done so much for us, that we need to honor him with our own sacrifice. So his intention is to go into the house of the Lord and give an offering to him. Here he talks about burnt offerings. He talks about, actually, it's a really big offering, a big offering of fatted animals and rams and bulls and goats. Some think that by the size of this offering here, the psalmist that wrote this must have been a wealthy man. Now, he could have been, but that's not the point of what he's trying to say here. The point is, worship is not just about singing and shouting, because worship is also sacrifice. We need to bring our sacrifice. It's about laying down something for the Lord. See, when we come to worship and we sing and we shout, but we fail to lay down our lives and surrender before God, then our worship is lacking something. See, we should give God total surrender in our lives. Whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants us to serve, whatever he wants us to give. See, our plans, our possessions, our dreams, and our days are his. And they're his to spend however he wants to for the glory of his name. So then finally, as we continue on and we recognize his awesome deeds, we do this by giving testimony. We give testimony. Verses 16 through 20. I'm going to ask you not to miss this, because remember how I told you before, the psalmist tells us to come and see. Now the psalmist gives us something a little bit different. He tells us to come and hear. See, what he's doing here is he's offering his testimony to the greatness of God. He wants to tell everyone what God has done for him. See, I want to remind us here that this gets pretty personal for him here. And because God has shown this great loving kindness to him, because God has led him through some very difficult times, though it was hard, the psalmist says that he trusted in the Lord. See, verse 18 here reminds us that if we had cherished iniquity in his heart, the Lord may not have listened. In other words, if he had held to these evil thoughts or sought evil comforts, then the Lord would not have heard his prayer. See, people that think that way are selfish and they're not mindful of the Lord. Those with that attitude are typically unrepentant and do not pray in a way that pleases God. But if we pray in a way that pleases God, relying totally on him, then the psalmist tells us here that he surely hears and results in his declaration that God has neither rejected his prayer nor removed his steadfast love. You know, I do want to remind us this morning about a testimony. Because church, you're a testimony to the Lord. When you come to faith, people start watching you closer. They watch you as an example. So, you know, I know a lot of us, when we start talking about when we become a new Christian, we have this urge in our heart, we want to go out and tell everybody and show what God has done for us. But unfortunately, as the years go by, sometimes that quiets down a little bit. You kind of get used to just being in a rhythm, and you know, you're thankful for what God has done, but maybe you don't give that testimony to other people like you used to. I guess I just want to remind us this morning that that testimony is so important for us to do. We need to continue to share that gospel. Church, all you have to do is watch the news today and see where the world's turning. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that think they know the solution, that think they know the answers. But that answer is only Christ. That's the only thing that can save a lost and dying world. And I'm going to go on further and say that the world needs your testimony. The world needs you sharing what God has done for you, how God has changed your life. You know, we do that personally, but we also do it as a church. And again, I just want to thank you for being a church that wants to spread that gospel. You know, I know Pastor Lucas, how he keeps the gospel first in everything he preaches, and I'm thankful for that. It's what all preachers should do. See, that awesome God we serve, his deeds make him deserving of our praise. His deeds make us remember his works. His deeds make us realize that he has refined us, he's changed us. His deeds make us understand that we need to sacrifice to him. And lastly, it means that we need to give testimony. You know, again, I told you earlier how my granddaughters listen to certain songs and they get stuck in my head. Well, again, I think the psalmist here is trying to tell us that the only song that needs to be sung, the only song that needs to be stuck in our head, is how I should have said that, is the song of Jesus Christ. Because our worship is all about the cross of Calvary. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross, he made it possible for you and I to be reconciled to him. He made that reconciliation for us as we live this life now, but forever. See, Christ is the only one who can deliver us from death. He's the only one who we should trust in to bring us through the worst trials of life. So church, I'm going to ask you to sing and to shout today and every day, because he is worthy to be praised. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, again, we just stand before you. We stand in awe. Lord, that root word from awesome is awe. And Lord, we are in awe of you. Lord, I think about all the wonderful things you've done. Lord, the beauty of this earth. As what was said earlier, Lord, in fact, people used to think that the earth is so wonderful that that's what should be worshipped. But Lord, that's not it. You are the creator. You're the one who has created all things. And we thank you for the beauty of this earth. Lord, we thank you for people. Lord, people that have been made in your likeness. Lord, each life precious. And Lord, each life that you want to come to see to you. And Lord, most of all, we stand here in awe of our salvation. Lord, how you would change us into something that we weren't. Lord, how you would take us and mold us into your image. Lord, continue to work on us and help us to give that testimony to you wherever we go. And Lord, again, I just ask your blessings upon this church. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
being in service. God, shepherd us by your word, the same for God to speak, mold, and fashion us. So where did God answer that prayer for you? Where did he put his finger or guide your heart? Take a moment to reflect on that and respond. Respond in our singing. We're going to sing hymn 98. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Number 98. Let's stand and sing.
Of Moses spoken to the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you, you are dismissed.
building. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir. It's great. Good luck. Okay. You get to keep your chairs.
We say this.
Thank you.
He's already said what we need to do. Two people have told us.
Yeah.
So it's like being stranded and you say, Lord, help me. And he sends a plane and you say, Lord, I'm afraid to fly.
Right.
He sends a boat and he said, I'm afraid of boats.
Yeah, right.
So he said, well, I tried to help you twice.
Right.
But I just don't feel real sure about the decision.
Well, and you want to be,
I want to be sure, right.
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 It's not playing around. We're going to go home and eat some wood stuff. All right. You rest. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will.
Well,
see,
we
love
your
car.
I'm going to tolerate you as a mother. Don't leave it.
You know.
Yeah.